Welcome to the ACCP Postgrad Trainee Podcast, a podcast by postgrads for postgrads. My name is Andy Jadis, the current ACCP RAC Vice Chair and a PGY2 Critical Care Resident at Mayo Clinic. Today, we'll be taking a closer look at the road to becoming a Residency Program Director, or RPD, and we'll be discussing other career opportunities in experiential education. Our guests today are Drs. Abby Crowder and Scott Nye. Abby is the PGY1 Residency Program Director at Mayo Clinic Hospital in Rochester, Minnesota, overseeing both PGY1 residents and PGY1 and 2 HSPAL residents during their first year of residency. Aside from her role in experiential education, she practices as an internal medicine clinical pharmacist. Outside of work, she enjoys being active with her husband and a 3-year-old Springer Spaniel, usually on the bike trails of Rochester or the nearest volleyball court. Scott is the program manager of experiential education, which is a new role created a few months ago. He oversees and supports all residency program directors and students across Mayo Midwest. Prior to his role, he worked in the cardiovascular surgery ICU and was a past PGY1 RPD. When not at work, he enjoys spending time with his wife, daughter, and 2 dogs. Welcome to the podcast, Abby and Scott. Really looking forward to our discussion today.
Thank you so much, Andy. I think this is a topic that Scott and I are very passionate about and enjoy discussing. So we're happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation. We love talking about this stuff. And if you give us more time, we can definitely fill it up.
Awesome. Well, I could definitely sense the passion in the room. So let's get going then with our packed episode for today. Our first question right off the bat, directed first here towards Abby. What made you interested in becoming our residency program director?
I think it's a really good question, Andy. And I think when I reflect on this and kind of my path to getting here, I think my interest in a role probably similar to the RPD role started when I was, I would say, a young kid. I come from an athletics-oriented background with parents that were highly involved in coaching and mentoring and impacting young people. And that's kind of what I saw as a young kid, as a teenager, and a young adult. And so just being surrounded by people that held that as a priority in their job or in their career, and obviously had some impactful mentors, often, I would say, many of them being coaches for sports teams I had as a young kid, as a teenager. And then throughout residency, you know, I think I really started to recognize and appreciate the impact that some of my residency program directors, who are now some of my most valued mentors, had on me as a young professional and as a person, and the opportunities that have come from those mentor-mentee relationships throughout the years. And frankly, recognizing that without the impact of people like Scott, who was my PGY1 RPD, I really wouldn't be, you know, where I am right now. And I think my career would look very different than it does currently. I think all of that cumulatively gave me this desire to have a little bit of something more in my career, knowing that I wanted more than just clinical practice. Didn't know exactly when that opportunity would arise, but gained this growing desire to invest in the next generation of clinical pharmacists and really give back to the profession and ultimately play a role in guiding residents on their own given career path. So I think it was a lot of really important people that invested in me over the years, and reflecting on that impact and wanting to have a similar impact on some of our young, aspiring, and really promising young pharmacists that we are fortunate to work with here at Mayo Clinic, that really, I think, spurred my interest throughout the years and led me to where I am today. I know Scott has some similar answers to this question, as we've talked about it many times in the past, but I'm curious to learn a little bit more about your past, Scott.
Yeah, you know, very similar to Abby, I think it was people that invested in me that really got my interest going in this. And, you know, Abby is one of our shining stars, and we have so many of them. And just thinking as a program director, one of the most valuable things I love seeing now, as I've done it for a few years, is when past residents go on to be future program directors. I think that is one of the most rewarding things in this role. But similarly to Abby, Garrett Schramm was my program director for PGY1 and instilled in me just a huge sense of pay it forward mentality. And I think back to even teachers and IPPE mentors and APPE mentors that were involved in my life. And it was so much about somebody else seeing something in me that at the time, I don't even think I recognized or appreciated. And the impact that those mentors can have and can shape somebody's future is what really drew me to experiential education, and just that loving pay it forward mentality that you get to invest in the future and you get to make the future a better place for all of those that are going into it. And I think that's what really draws a lot of us to this role. And one thing I think you'll find in common with a lot of RPDs is just that love for mentorship and giving back to the future.
Wow. Thank you for those insights. So moving on then to our next question, What steps did you take in your career to become an RPD? Scott, I'll have you go ahead and take a stab at this first.
Yeah, it took a little while, and it was something I had significant interest in. And I'll say it was actually around my PGY2 year that I started to realize that I wanted to be a future program director. And I had conversations with one of my preceptors at Barnes Jewish Hospital, right at my PGY2. And she was a past program director, and she was had come to Barnes, and she was talking about all of the experience she had. And we ended up doing side conversations and topic discussions about mentorship, about all of the logistics of ASHP standards. And I just got very excited even early on in that phase and knew it was something I wanted to do. And she helped instill with me some of the things to get involved early, to continue in that first year of being a practitioner, and to just invest and ask who you can get involved with or who you can help out with. And so as a new practitioner, I got involved with a rotation preceptor, got involved as a junior mentor on some longitudinal projects like quality improvement and research, and started helping residents with their presentations from a content mentor standpoint, and then also as a longitudinal teaching mentor. And so through my time as a preceptor, got very involved in the residency program, which opened up an opportunity for me to apply for an assistant program director role when that came available. And luckily I was selected and I had a great group that I was working with. And then when the program director role ultimately came about, I had had a number of years of experience in both the preceptor role and the assistant program director role. And while it still felt like a big jump, it was one I was excited for and knew that I had mentors that had helped me and that would continue to help me through that role. And so it was a bit of my journey and pathway, but I know they all look different. And I think one thing that, even though, you know, I kind of had that stepwise approach of preceptor, assistant program director, onto program director, and now overseeing all program directors, one thing that it just seems to always take you by surprise when those opportunities come up, and you might not always feel ready. But I think if you have passion for it, and if you really want it and have the desire for it, I think it's something you just should reach out and make the effort and go for it and try for it. And know that you're still, it's okay if you're learning on the job. I remember telling my first PGY1 class when I was a program director that we're going to learn through this together. And honestly, they gave me such a great year, and they really learned along with me and helped me to get that first year underneath my belt and help me really be a successful PGY1 RPD in the future. And then I'll, since Abby was actually that first PGY1 class, she made it a bit easy for me. I'll throw it over to her and see if she has any advice and what her pathway was and how she'd made it easy for me as a program director.
Scott is very modest, I will add. No, he was fantastic from the get-go, and I obviously learned a ton from him, even as a PGY1. I think my path was probably a little bit less traditional, and I only say that in the fact that a lot of the steps Scott described happened in a little bit more of a truncated timeline in terms of, you know, jumping into an ARPD position within my first year on staff at Mayo Clinic and then stepping into the ARPD role in my second year. So things, you know, those opportunities came at me fast. And so I definitely resonate with what Scott said in terms of, you don't necessarily always feel ready for those opportunities when they arise. But I think it was just hugely important for me to lean on my mentors in those times when I was, I think, discerning whether or not now was the right time. And eventually, obviously, deciding that these were opportunities that I didn't want to let pass me by at the time. And so grateful that I took the opportunity and have continued to rely on my mentors as I've gotten acclimated to the role and learned a lot through the first year, as Scott kind of alluded to in his first year as an RPD as well. But I think, as you know, a lot of this in terms of, you know, what steps or planning took place for me, very similar to Scott, these conversations started early. So the ball was rolling, I think, as a, you know, late PGY1, PGY2, where Scott actually served as my teaching and learning certificate mentor as a PGY2. And we started to have conversations about what does it look like in a role of residency program leadership, talking about ASHP accreditation standards, talking about working with different types of learners, new generations of learners, those kind of things. And so again, like I alluded to in my first response at the start of this podcast, I knew I wanted something more out of my career eventually. I didn't know exactly when those opportunities would arise. And so I knew that in having those conversations early was going to be important for me, and to take advantage of the opportunities I had to learn from Scott while he was working through his first year in the role, ultimately, I think, prepared me to raise my hand when the opportunity opportunity came, despite maybe not feeling 100% ready, but finding that I was probably a lot more ready than I gave myself credit for in the moment. But can't speak highly enough of the mentors that have, you know, played a huge role in ensuring that I had the confidence and the competence to step into it when the opportunity arose.
That's a really good insight. What benefits in your career have you gained from being an RPD? And this time we'll start with Abby.
Yeah. As I was reflecting on this question, you know, even in such a short time as being an RPD, you know, my first 9 months, I think the benefits have been immense and probably far more than I could have anticipated in such a short timeline. And I think they kind of fall for me into different buckets. But in general, I think it's been such an important tool or vehicle for me to continue my own professional development as a clinician and as a professional and as just a leader within pharmacy. And I think first and foremost, you know, stepping into any sort of leadership role, but RPD being one, I think that's, you know, accessible for a lot of early in their career is just exposure to situations and conversations that come when you're in a leadership role. And being challenged to grow that leadership skill set has probably been the area where I've seen the most growth and seen the greatest benefits in me personally. Just situations and conversations that I don't know I would have encountered as a staff pharmacist at this point in my career, but have been lucky to learn from in my first year as a residency program director. So, you know, having crucial conversations, learning how to, you know, hold myself and others accountable in this role, leading with consistency while working with people that are very different and have very different perspectives and come with different backgrounds and are having different experiences within the same residency program. And then learning a little bit about lateral leadership has been, I think, a huge area of growth and learning for me in my first year. Knowing that a lot of, you know, residency program director roles, you don't necessarily have a ton of top-down power in within a pharmacy department. And it really is the relationships that you build with your colleagues and with other leaders within the department that can really allow you to do some pretty exciting and impactful things for your program and advocate for your residents and their learning experiences. And so I could talk for a long time about a lot of the, you know, leadership related benefits that come with this and a lot of things that, you know, Scott and I have talked about during my first year, but I think that's definitely a huge area for benefit for young practitioners that may not be exposed to a lot of those things in their other like clinical roles or research roles or otherwise. I think the other big thing that I've noticed a benefit in is the networking that comes from being a residency program director. So obviously I know pharmacists within my specialty area quite well as I've been working with them for several years and as a resident here, but getting to know pharmacists and providers in specialty areas outside of internal medicine as I work with preceptors in those areas to develop learning experiences for my residents that are hugely important for their overall well-rounded experience as a PGY1 here at Mayo Clinic. And then also networking with leaders within our institution. Obviously, having somewhat of a mentoring role of our first year HSPAL residents is a natural avenue for getting to know some of the core leaders within our pharmacy department here at Mayo Clinic. And it's been really rewarding for me to learn a lot about, you know, what they do, what roles they have, and who they oversee and who they work with. And so that's been a huge area of growth. And then finally, I would say networking with RPDs and leaders of experiential education at other institutions. So I think this year in particular, what comes to mind is as we were all trying to figure out how we're going to recruit and conduct interviews in this, you know, changing climate following the pandemic, it was a lot of conversing with other RPDs throughout the state on, you know, what circumstances they're facing and how that may be different than what we're seeing here at Mayo Clinic and how that's shaping, you know, what they're choosing to do. And so that was really fun, not only for me to learn from them, but also to share a little bit of what we're talking about here at Mayo Clinic. And so networking has been a huge piece. And then I think one of the last things I would touch on is, I think just broadening my perspective has been a huge benefit of this role in terms of, I obviously am intimately familiar with the pathway to a PGY1 or a PGY1 and then a PGY2 in internal medicine, but, you know, learning to relate to residents that want to pursue oncology or transplant or just want to join the workforce after their PGY1 training has been hugely beneficial for me to, you know, if I'm going to guide them through that process, I have to first educate myself on what it looks like and put them in contact with people that may be better resources than myself in those moments as well. So I've learned a lot and gained, I think, a huge appreciation for all of the different roles and all the different paths that pharmacists can take in their career journeys and how, you know, my path is just one way to get to the end point that I'm at now. And so I've really enjoyed, you know, learning a little bit more about the breadth of pharmacy practice through my residents, really. So I'm learning from them just as much as they're, you know, hopefully learning from me. And then I don't want to steal too much of Scott's thunder, because I know he definitely wants to talk about this, but I think working with the residents is obviously one of the biggest highlights of this position. Residents come to work every day excited and enthusiastic about learning, no matter what they're faced with. And I think that's so contagious. And I think being surrounded by that and having that be my group of people that I see very frequently has made me a better clinician. It's made me a better researcher. It's just made me better in a lot of the other elements of my career, I think, than possibly I was prior to stepping into this role. So having talked enough, I'll definitely hand it over to Scott to add anything else that he's got.
Yeah, I just want to echo what Abby mentioned for so many things. And just to touch on that last point that Abby had about the joy that learners bring, I think that that's one of the biggest intangibles that being in this role and being in other experiential ed roles brings. And, you know, I know it's not the same for everybody, but as we all look about what goes in our career, I know that a number of us find so much value in the preceptors that we talk to, the program directors, or just those mentors that we have. And it goes both ways. The mentors really also value from having the mentee and having a learner on, because we love that energy that they bring. We love the energy that it brings to our practice. And then it's seen the successes and joys that they have also bring us joy. I can't tell you how rewarding it is as a mentor to see, you know, the students I mentor on match day and being just as excited for them for match, having now overseen all the RPDs and the programs matching and having that joy and excitement that goes along with it. And all of the residents that are going to their PGY2 areas or going for their careers and their jobs and helping them get that. There's so much joy in experiential education. That's what really keeps me excited and going and challenges me in new ways, as Abby mentioned, as a clinician, as they come up with questions and ask to explain or hear things differently. There's just so much reward to that. And it's hard to put that on paper, but I think that that's one of the biggest things in a career that can help you going for so many years. And just to touch a little bit too on another thing that Abby mentioned that I really want to highlight is the leadership building pathway. I think that this is a great way to build leaders in pharmacy, and all of us have different pathways in leadership. And I think that that gives one of the best parts of some of these different leadership pathways is that they all look a little bit different. We get to hear about each other's journeys. That perspective and networking you get from interacting with so many different people helps shape you and hear unique stories and think about things differently. But a model that we've had here now for a few years is that our RPD roles are for 7 years maximum, and we try to keep them out of any sort of senior management position so that it gives staff an area of leadership development. And that has been immensely successful, that over the past 6 years, we have 5 RPDs that have moved on to upper leadership roles. And I think it's to all of the skill sets that Abby talked about and just enabling those and allowing people to practice those with mentorship and with guidance and get those perspectives. And so that leadership building pathway is an amazing way to get involved in different ways. And not that you have to seek upper leadership, but it also just gives you perspectives and difference in pharmacy. So even as your time in the role of RPD is done, you might have a new appreciation for something different, or you might kind of pivot in a different way later on, or you might just also continue to be that valuable preceptor and educator. And so there's so many values to being an RPD or being a preceptor in experiential education that are really hard to quantify, but those are a few that we can talk about.
For the listeners, just to summarize, it sounds like there's a plethora of benefits from taking that closer look at becoming an RPD. You know, just a few that I want to touch on is the expansive networking that kind of comes along with that, additional leadership experience that could be critical for personal and professional development. And then, of course, broadening that perspective and getting to work with residents and those that are really passionate about what they get to do every day. So, you know, one of the questions I definitely want to ask as a young practitioner that is interested in becoming an RPD at some point, what kind of advice would you offer to trainees that are interested but just not quite sure how to get started on this career path? And we'll start with Scott this time.
Yeah, Andy, and I'll go back to something you said earlier is get involved early. And I think advocate for yourself. As we're going through education as a student and as a resident, a lot of people are going to be giving you opportunities and handing them to you, because a lot of the times that's a part of a requirement. And it's meant to expose you to them, to let you see the process so that you can do that yourself afterwards. When you go on to your after residency or after student roles, you're going to have to do a lot more advocating for yourself often asking to get involved because those opportunities still exist in large quantities, but you just have to express that interest and you have to reach out and you have to show that encouragement and that excitement about it. And people will not turn you down. People will very openly offer to have you help or to offer that mentorship if you're willing to go in and be excited about it. And that excitement is what we want to see. And so if any advice I can give you is your first year out of your training, either as NC or if you go straight into the workforce, you know, don't take that lull for too long. Like, you've worked really hard. If you want to take a little bit of vacation, definitely do so. But don't wait too long before getting involved. And it doesn't have to be of third or fourth or fifth residency year. It can be, you know, some involvement in organizations and also in some projects at your department. But do that. Keep involved. Keep meeting those people. Keep those opportunities available. And investing a little bit in yourself each and every day, even 30 minutes to 60 minutes, will go a long way in a career's time frame. And so I would say definitely put that investment in early and just think of little chunks and it'll pay off in the long term.
Oh, awesome insights. And then we'll turn over to Abby.
Yeah, I think Scott touched on a lot of things that I would say for this answer as well. I think as an RPD, it's always exciting to have people reach out saying, you know, I don't know where to get involved, but I just know that I want to be involved and I want to, you know, find a way to work with residents and learn about your program. And so that's always, I think, well received on the RPD end. And I think, you know, as someone who, you know, recently went through this progression or transition, you know, learning about the program from the ground up, which I think involvement in a lot of different ways can facilitate, you know, learn what the research component looks like, what does teaching and learning look like, along with obviously precepting on clinical rotations. And so just such an important tool, not only to grow your own skill set, but also to learn about the programs at your site, how they're being conducted and what's critical or important for those learning experiences. And then of course, you know, going back to what Scott and I talked about in terms of the role mentors can play in preparing you, you know, seek out those individuals at your institutions that either have RPD roles or did have RPD roles in the past and pick their brains. We obviously love talking about what we do. I think Scott and I have demonstrated that today. And I'm certain that, you know, the people at your institutions that are filling these roles feel very similarly. So set up times to talk with them about what their path has looked like and what's been most impactful for them in getting to the role that they're at today.
Well, thank you so much for that insight. Now we're going to transition a little bit and ask Scott a little bit more about his unique role that he has within Mayo Clinic as the Director of Pharmacy Experiential Education. So Scott, would you mind providing the listeners just a little bit more background on what this current role actually entails?
Yeah, I was very honored to be able to step into this role. And it was something that we created because we had a huge growth across Mayo Midwest in our residency programs over the past few years. We have new standards coming out. We have lots of preceptors and students that are coming through that we want to support as well. So my role is to oversee a lot of the administrative work that goes along with that, still keeping the day-to-day and the very close connections with the residents in the program director's hands. And my role is really to support them the best that I can to allow them to do that and to have that very impactful role. And where I'm trying to look across Mayo Midwest and try to see how we can uplift and really create a holistic experience, how we can share together across the Midwest, how we can collaborate, and how we can continue to always think of the learner first. And doing that with students as well has been, you know, a little bit outside of this podcast, but something that I'm also very passionate about. And so we have so many facets between RPDs, preceptors, and the learner that we're all trying to advocate for. And so this role really gives me that opportunity to make sure that those three that I'm advocating for are always the focus and can do that in conjunction with standards. And can do that in conjunction with outside opportunities and also try to advocate from an administrative standpoint, and gives me also insight at what the upper leadership is dealing with and managing with and how I can kind of help offload that or communicate the important things that need to be communicated. And so I'm very thankful for this role. And I think it's a great opportunity for any health system that can, and just gives the opportunity for those preceptors and those RPDs to focus on the learner right in front of them and being able to create that mentorship and not have to worry about some of the other logistics that go along with this role. Abby, do you think that that's an honest reaction?
Absolutely. I would agree with everything that you've said. I think the sky is the limit for this role in terms of the benefits that those of us more on, I would say, the front lines can see from having a director of experiential education like Scott at the helm. And obviously, I think he's perfect for it with his involvement as a prior RPD. And already, I think we're seeing a lot of benefits from having someone in this role that's kind of helping, I think, serve as a resource, but also helping to standardize. I think I start with resource because, you know, in the short time that Scott has been in this role, he's been an invaluable resource for me. Anytime I'm, you know, dealing with a new learner or preceptor situation that I haven't encountered before, or if I have a question related to our program policies or ASHP accreditation standards, he's kind of like the master interpreter of all of those rules and guidelines that we work with on a daily basis and have to think about when we're making decisions for our learners and for our program from a global perspective. And so definitely it's been a huge resource for myself. And I know many of the other RPDs have found a lot of value in being able to reach out to him when those questions do arise. And then I think something that's really unique about our site is that we have residency programs across what we call Mayo Clinic Midwest. So across various Mayo Clinic sites within Minnesota and Wisconsin. And Scott has, I think, played a huge role already with lots of, I think, work to come in standardizing the way we approach different processes throughout the year, our different documentation, standardizing our residency manuals, just to make sure that, you know, we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's across all of the different sites. And we're, you know, trying to do things similarly to one another to eliminate some of the inconsistencies that maybe we've had in place before, just due to, you know, not having someone in this oversight role and maybe not communicating quite as much. So I think he's been fantastic, and I'm lucky to benefit from him as, you know, having the largest residency program across Mayo Clinic Midwest and having a lot of different resident scenarios that come up throughout the year. It's been excellent.
That seems like a lot of very important work that's going on behind the scenes that a lot of people might not be aware of, but is really important to, I think, to help put the needs of the learner first, which is, of course, a critical aspect and should be the focus of, I think, all experiential education programs. Looking at the importance of the tasks that your team's currently working on, curious to hear if there's anything specifically you're most excited about.
Thank you, Andy. I think that there's definitely some standardization, as Abby alluded to in our last question, that we've talked about, and just getting to know all of the different sites and program directors, even just at a new and more at a better level, has been very fun. But something we just recently did is we created an experiential education learning experience for education leadership for those, you know, people interested in those residents that are interested in RPD future and what we're talking about on this podcast today. And Andy, I might ask you what your experience was taking that rotation, as you were actually our first resident to be able to take our experiential education leadership learning experience.
I think that the experiential education leadership rotation was a lot of fun, and something I would encourage a lot of residents to maybe consider is different leadership experiences within either your health system or your residency site. And the thing that I thought most interesting was just actually getting to get more in tune with all the important processes and procedures that go into maintaining the high standards, of course, of ASHP approved residency programs, and really gave me a lot of appreciation for what my RPDs and, of course, people like Scott in these experiential education roles are really doing behind the scenes just to help us be successful. So I found it very rewarding to get to be you know, a small piece of that puzzle throughout that 4 weeks, but also very critical, I think, for me to spend a little bit more dedicated time working on those leadership skills that were mentioned to be something that can not be totally lost within clinical practice, but could be very important to develop outside of patient care and can also improve your clinical leadership experience. So I really took away a lot of the time that I was able to spend on those type of topic discussions with Scott, and then also the various you know, projects that were had arisen throughout that. So I found it very rewarding.
Thank you, Andy. And I think that, you know, while not all locations will have a role like mine, you could reach out to anybody in program leadership and they can create similar type learning experiences. And it's really to foster those people that want to be involved as a residency coordinator or as a residency program director or in any form, just better understanding some of the logistical things that go on with it. And also some of those leadership topics that Abby alluded to of lateral leadership and crucial conversations and change process management and how to work with others, I think is so important and so critical that offering up those kind of learning experiences would be a great add at any program. And I think every program can offer it. And it just takes getting somebody in place to create that learning experience.
Moving on then to our wrap-up session or aspect of today's session. Of course, just, and I think really important to provide it a high level overview and really some takeaways for our listeners for today. Lots of important things have been covered, but overall, what is your biggest takeaway for making a career as an RPD or an experiential education a reality for trainees? And we'll start with Abby.
Just start the conversation early and raise your hand early and often when it comes to opportunities. And I think Scott and I have both kind of belabored that, the importance of getting involved early and really learning, I think, you know, more about yourself as a mentor and as a preceptor and growing those skills, but also learning about the residency programs at your site kind of from the ground up. As I think that is super important to then be effective in the residency program position when you're overseeing a lot of those learning experiences and overseeing preceptors and residents within those learning experiences. I think this perspective is extremely helpful when it comes to just preparing you for being competitive for those positions and then being successful when you're eventually in those roles. And anything that you can do early on, whether you're still a resident and starting to have those conversations, or whether you're a new staff at a new site and just wanting to learn about what's available at your new institution, all of those conversations and those experiences, I think, are just hugely beneficial for putting you in a position to be successful in one of these roles eventually.
I would just agree with what Abby had said there. And on top of, you know, raise your hand early and often, you know, advocate for yourself too. You know, people are going to want what's best for you and try to help you the most that you can. But also you need to be able to reach out and ask and express that interest and let people know what you're interested in. And so I think that that is one of the best ways that you can do so, is just reach out and ask for involvement, or ask ways to be involved, even if you don't necessarily have a specific thing, and people will find you a way to get involved. I think also just invest in yourself with a little bit each day at the end of the workday or at the beginning of the workday. Don't make it seem like this huge mountain you have to climb all in 1 week or 1 month or 1 year, but doing those small investments, you know, each and every day or three times a week will really pay off dividends in the long run. And so I think doing that and investing in yourself will really pay it forward, whether it's in this program director role or some other role that you're interested in doing. That'll go a long way. And then my last, you know, thing I think is so important is just always have the learner first and love to educate them and realize that that pathway goes both ways, and that as a mentor, you get so much joy and so much excitement out of that, that really, if you're just excited and passionate about experiential education, like, it'll find you. And it just might not be when you're most expecting it, and it might be when you're least expecting it, but it'll find you if you have that passion for experiential education.
Well, thank you, Abby and Scott, for joining us today. It was great getting to learn more about your career paths, becoming an RPD and beyond, and I appreciate all your practical tips that you provided. To our audience, thank you for listening to the ACCP Postgrad Trainee Podcast, a podcast by postgrads for postgrads. For more episodes and other resources, visit our website at accp.com/resbell. Our theme music is titled Jupiter Smile on the 126ers and is provided through YouTube's free audio library. Please subscribe to the ACCP podcast to be notified of new episodes.